Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
This morning, I want to hopefully bring to life what God placed in my heart this week. And I have to admit that this week, how many know sometimes resting is hard if you're not used to resting? And I found myself by about Wednesday feeling guilty for resting this week. Anybody ever felt guilty for resting? And upon feeling guilty for resting, I also was unsure of where we were going this Sunday, which normally I feel like the Lord has already, you know, begin to give me a little bit of direction. And so I was like, I guess I was feeling doubly bad because I was feeling like I was missing something and I was getting to rest. And so I was very confused. And I just kind of, I was in a weird spot for me this week. And so come Thursday morning, I felt the Lord just kind of lay this on my heart and along with telling me that it was okay to rest. How many knows it's okay to rest? All right. And so I went from kind of feeling guilty for resting to saying, all right, God, this is the last Sunday service in 2019, so let's go big. Like, you drop that big spiritual bomb in my heart. Let it melt and marinate for the last, you know, couple of days. And let me deliver that Sunday and let's just boom. Let's just end this year with just this big, amazing moment. And I'm not saying that that's not going to happen, all right? But that was just where I was and what I was wanting. And it was kind of like he said, now slow down just a second. He said, because yes, this is the end of one year. And yes, you are beginning a new year, but you're in the same race. All right? Yes, we are coming to the close of 2019, and we are coming to the beginning of 2020. But this race, this journey that we are in, it's the same that we've been living, right? Today we talked about how our life is kind of like that dash, if you will. For me, it's 1983 dash, day to be determined. For us, maybe it's the hash mark between the here and now and heaven. We called it this morning in our Sunday school lesson the vapor life, all right? And it's temporal. But how many knows what we do here in that temporal life is important because it will be reflected for all of eternity? And I think sometimes we forget that the race that we're running, it's a new race because it's 2020. We're in the same race. It's just a new leg of the race, all right? Some of us have been running this race longer than others. Some of us are newcomers. But it's an endurance race, and it's not something that I guess needs to go out with a bang. It's something that needs to be lived with fervency every day of every year of every moment. So just because we're coming to the end of 2019 and beginning 2020 doesn't mean that we needed that bang moment, because really I feel like we should be living those bang moments every day in our personal walk and relationship with the Lord. Amen? So he began to kind of deal with me on that thought of again, new year, but it's the same race, or same, again, same race, all right? That's what we're running, all right? So if you will, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to read a few verses here, beginning in verse 24. It says, isn't it obvious that all runners on the racetrack keep on running to win? But only one receives the victor's prize. Yet each one of you must run the race to be victorious. A true athlete will be disciplined in every aspect, practicing constant self-control in order to win a laurel wreath that quickly withers. But we run, everybody say we run. We run our race to win a victor's crown that will last forever. For that reason, I don't run just for exercise or box like one throwing aimless punches, but I train like a champion athlete. I subdue my body and get it under control so that after preaching the good news to others, I myself won't be disqualified. Now that is, again, from the Passion Translation this morning. You see, as I began to just read this portion of scripture that I felt like the Lord began to lay on my heart Thursday morning, and the fact that, yes, we're entering a new year, but it's the same race. How many knows we should run with that same endurance or greater than what we have already been running that race? And so as I begin to kind of look at the scripture, some things begin to pop out. And the first thing it says, keep running to win. How many of you have ever entered into a contest with the hopes of losing? You're like, you know, I'm going to sign up for this, but I don't have a chance in the world. All right? We sign up, we enlist in certain activities, we do things because even against the odds, in our minds, we've got a chance. We can be the Rocky story of the moment, right? The underdog who comes to the top of the pack. But we are encouraged here to keep running to win. Now, in the New King James or King James Version, that word win would be represented by the word receive. And if we dig into that word, it means to actively lay hold of. To lay hold of by aggressively and actively accepting what is available or offered. And how many knows that God has offered us a pretty amazing deal in this race that we call life, and it's called Jesus Christ, all right? And so we have in this some pretty amazing things that we need to grab hold of that God has made available to us. And it denotes accepting those things, accepting the conditions of the race, accepting the equipment, even, if you will, of the race with an initiative that is emphasized by assertiveness of the runner. How many knows if you want something, you have to get it? Okay, maybe not. Maybe you're accustomed to people just bringing you stuff. I don't know. It doesn't work in my world, all right? You see, how many knows if you really want something, you have to go get it? How many knows that God has made something available to us through Jesus Christ, but if we want to take a hold of those things, we have to be assertive enough within ourselves to reach out and grab and lay hold of it? And that's what Paul's trying to describe in this moment. He said, keep running to win, or keep running to receive. Keep running so that you can lay hold of that which has been given to you. But again, it takes initiative. It takes action. It's going to take even sometimes a little bit of aggression. Oh, aggression? Not like violent aggression, but determined aggression. How many of you have ever been determined to get something in your life? All right, what he's saying is take that same determination and then amplify it as you pursue what God has for you. You see, there must be a desire to run. I used to have a desire to physically run. I don't, and that's why this flannel shirt currently is a 3X, all right? Because I no longer have the desire to physically run. You see, but in our spiritual lives, we can't risk not having that desire to run after God and what he has set before us. Amen? Philippians 3, 12 and 13 says, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish it. However, I do have one compelling focus, that I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. And in the recent weeks, we've been talking about leaving certain things behind and taking certain things forward. And how many knows we can't look to our past if we're going to enjoy our present and the future for what God has for us. But in this, Paul tells us, he says, look, man, I'm running with such passion that this is the only thing that's in my heart's focus. And how many knows that Matthew 6:33 tells us that when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else falls into its perfect place. You see, so if we will run with passion after him, those other things of life, they seem to just get taken care of according to his timing and according to his grace. So we have to keep running, and we have to keep running to win, to receive, to make sure that we're laying hold of what God would have for us in this coming leg of the race, all right? The second thing that he kind of brought to my attention was that you can't run the race if you're sitting on the sidelines. You can't run the race if you're sitting on the sidelines. How many knows it's really easy to sit on the sidelines and criticize those who are running the race? Well, dang, Sister Susie Q over there. You know, if she just get rid of that thing in her life, she could probably get along a little bit better. She wouldn't be limping through this race like she is right now. Man, you know, if Pastor would get saved, he'd probably preach better. I see all the humorous people are on vacation. That's all right. They'll be back next week, I hope. You see, a lot of times we sit on the sidelines, and when we sit on the sidelines, we disengage. We're kind of there, so we get the check mark for attendance, right? But we're not really engaged in what's going on. But we can't really truly run the race and the course that God has set before us if we're sitting on the sidelines. Again, when we look at that, the second part of verse 24, and it talks about in the Passion Translation, it says, but only one receives the victor's prize, or King James or New King James would say, only one obtains. And to obtain means to grasp something in a forceful manner, making it your own. It becomes something that of ownership, if you will. It denotes, I guess, that personal interest and personal investment. He's saying you can't run the race sitting on the sidelines. What you have to do is you have to personally get involved. You have to personally invest yourself. You have to personally become engaged in what I'm requiring and asking of you within this race. And then I just need you to run your heart out with as much passion as you can as you pursue what I have laid before you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 goes on to say this: I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus Christ. Again, maybe a more familiar way of saying that would be, I press towards the goal. And so this morning, there has to be that, again, that activity within our lives where we're not sitting on the sidelines. Because again, when we begin to sit on the sidelines, what we do is we're not really winning and receiving. We're just kind of watching. And when you're watching, you're not really gaining what God would have for you. So to win and to receive, or to stay in the race and to stay off of the sidelines, each of us must in turn then run the race for ourselves. How many knows that you can't find a designated runner for this race? You have to run the race that has been set before you. Only you can gain that element of victory for yourself. You see, if we're not willing to run the race and all we're willing to do is sit on the sidelines, we get broken into two different categories. You're either a participant or you're a spectator. So this morning, which are you? Are you a participant in this race, or are you a spectator in the race? Because a spectator, what happens is spectators get to sit down on the sidelines, and so they get comfortable. And when we get comfortable, how many knows that kind of transitions into complacency? But how many knows complacency transitions us into spiritual death? You see, so if we're not careful as a spectator, we'll get comfortable. And if we're not comfortable, then we get critical. How many know, again, spectators are pretty critical. Anybody heard of an armchair quarterback? Knowing they couldn't do what Brett Favre could do, but they're blaming him. You see, we get in that same way in our spiritual lives, and we become critical. And when we become critical, we begin to complain. And when we complain, how many knows that leads to spiritual death? Anybody remember 40 years in the wilderness for no reason? Yeah, that was because of complaining. They were critical. You see, if we're a spectator, the odds are we're either comfortable or we're critical or we're both. And there ain't nothing worse than a comfortable critic. Well, okay. At least from a pastor's point of view. Father, help us today. Deliver just a tad bit, God of, you know, humor. And thank you, Jesus. All right. So that leaves us, if you're not a spectator, then that means you're a participant. And a participant will position themselves in the race at their own pace. How many knows right now, if we were to all walk outside of these doors and say, all right, we're going to run a mile together, how many knows we have some very different paces that would be set this morning? All right? The odds are Wade would lead the pack. I would be the caboose. All right? And then all of you would fall somewhere graciously in between us. All right? That's just how that would work this morning. How many knows our spiritual lives are the same? We're all running the same race. We may just be on a different leg of the race and at a different pace. Right? But we're all running. I don't mean this to continue to rhyme, but we're running that same race together. Amen? So we position ourselves at our own pace. Somebody who is a participant will power through no matter what leg of the race that they're in, because they have a desire to acquire what God has made available for them. So is that passion still there to pursue him? Is that passion there to still receive what he would have for you in this particular leg of the race or season of your life, as we may call it today? You see, this race that we're in, this journey of faith, this walk with God, this relationship, whatever you want to call it, it's not about placement. How many of you know that none of us will be first to make it to heaven? So it's not about first place, right? It's not about second place. It's not, well, I was the 1,001. It's not really about placement. It's all about the place. It's about just making it to heaven, right? It's about making sure that we have secured what we need to secure through Jesus Christ, and that we live out this race to the very best of our ability, so that when we cross the finish line, he doesn't say, hey, 1,700,400, whatever. He goes, hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How many knows we're not looking for a placement? We're just running towards a place, if you will. You see, and that leads us to some things, and knowing that there is this, again, the temporal and the eternal. Paul goes on and he says there's some things that we need to do, and we need to look at the element of, he says, a true athlete will be disciplined in every respect, practicing constant self-control in order to win. You see, we need in our lives discipline and self-control. A good runner will tell you that to be a good runner, one of the things that you need is discipline and self-control. And when we look at our spiritual lives, are we really disciplined, and are we under that element of self-control? When you look at that word in the, again, the King James or New King James, we find the word temperate. And it simply just means to exercise self-control. Basically, it denotes exercising dominion from within your own heart in everything and in every way possible. How many know sometimes we let ourselves slide? But Paul is saying, no, look, when you're running this race, to make sure that you're running it to win, you've got to stay disciplined. You've got to exercise self-control. You've got to take those things that are going to be at a disadvantage for this race, and you have to basically discard them in every way possible so that you know you're running to the very best of your ability. So how do we do that? Because we can't do that in and of ourselves. So how do we take those things and really begin to discipline ourselves and exercise self-control to the degree that we become successful as we run this race? I think Paul gives us a little insight in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, where he says, "For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct and deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever." How many knows the only way to combat those things that are going to slow us down and distract us is through the power of the Holy Spirit? If you want true discipline, if you want true self-control, you aren't going to be able to accomplish that in this life by yourself. You're going to have to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and allow him to bring you to the reality of that life in him, so that we can continue to run the race as we need to. You see, discipline and self-control simply boil down to abstaining from anything that would keep us from running the race and finishing strong. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, it doesn't really matter. If it's something that's slowing you down, how many knows we got to cast it to the side and we got to keep running that race? You see, for this to be accomplished in our lives, we must constantly yield ourselves to the power, the anointing, and the influence of the Holy Spirit, who puts the flesh to death and brings the Spirit to life. How many knows we need the Holy Spirit in our everyday race? Amen. We need him to lead us and guide us along that course of just the what we would maybe normally just call the daily routine. You see, in knowing that, we have to understand this morning too that what we're running for isn't temporal, it's eternal. And again, this kind of came up in our Sunday school class again this morning, and we do have the tendency to look towards just what is here and now, and we kind of forget what God has established for eternity. But how many knows, again, what we do here and now will impact all of eternity? So I'm not saying discard the temporal. I'm saying keep it mindful, but don't forget that what we're doing here is a short time. It's that vapor, as we talked about in the Sunday school this morning. in comparison to eternity. So what we're running for isn't temporal, it's eternal. Paul uses the words in the Passion Translation, quickly withers, which translates to perishable, which simply means that something easily perishes or disintegrates. Again, how many knows that everything in this life has an expiration date? From milk, all right, to the deeds we do. It all has an expiration date. Eventually, it's going to come to a moment where it ends. But you see, we're running a race that is not perishable, or we're not running a race that is for an item that is perishable. But Paul says we're running a race for something that will last forever or is imperishable, that is indestructible, incorruptible, not liable, again, to corruption or decay. It's eternal. And so we have to keep our perspective not only on the race that we're in right now, understanding the value and importance of the temporal moment, but also of the eternal moment that lies before us. You see, because of what is at stake, again, Paul kind of reminds us of some things. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "And when the shepherd king appears, you will win the victor's crown of glory that never fades away." And again, I know that right now, maybe this morning, we can't fully comprehend eternity. I know I can't. I can't fathom that in my little bitty mind today. But what I have to know is that if God has said it, he has spoken it, he has created it, and he has made it possible through Jesus Christ, I have to, by faith, keep running, right? And I have to know that one day, that great shepherd king is going to lay down for me a crown of glory, and that means eternity. And so we have to understand today that though some things will fade away, there are others that will never fade away. And he says, this is those things that will never fade away. It's perpetual. It's unending. It's enduring. You see, because of that, we need to look at verse 26 and 27 again. Verse 26 says, "For that reason, I don't run just for exercise or box like one throwing aimless punches." Here we see it rendered aimless exercise, if you will, uncertainty in the King James or New King James. And it just means that you do something without certain aim. It's kind of like you're just like, I'll take my chance. How many knows that when it comes to our walk of faith with Christ, that we shouldn't just be taking chances? We shouldn't just be shooting in the dark. How many knows if you shoot in the dark, you're probably not going to hit your target? You see, so we have a goal. And the goal isn't to be uncertain with what we do, but it's to be very certain of what we do. But you see, a lot of times we get involved in aimless exercise. I'll call it religion, if you will. And we get used to coming, and we get used to doing, and we get used to seeing and saying. But again, we're not really engaged at that moment. Again, we're kind of just spectators. We're on the sidelines of what's really going on. Because we have no focus of our heart. We have no focus of our mind. We have no intention of really running the race as God has set it before us. So we're just kind of going through the motions. We're just, again, we kind of from time to time are experiencing this moment of just aimless exercise. But instead, Paul says, we need to train like a champion. How many want to be a champion for Christ? Four of you, awesome. We're gonna do great things in 2020. You see, we need to train like a champion. And basically what that means is discipline through subjection. Everybody say subjection. And that's, again, it's a word we don't like. We don't like discipline, and we definitely don't like subjection. But what it basically means is this. It means that we are to enslave and subdue ourselves. We're to be led as one who is captive. We are to be fully compliant to the will of a master. And I don't know about you this morning. I've got issues. I have things in my life that I know currently God is still trying to work out. I'm still on the potter's wheel, and he is still molding and making me moment by moment. And I'm thankful for his graceful touch and hands that guide my life. But how many knows we should strive to be better? Amen? And we translate that sometimes to our natural and our physical lives, but we don't translate that to our spiritual lives for some reason. And I think that's a shame, because how many knows we need to give God the very best of who we are? And so this morning, we need to understand that in this moment of training like a champion, to do that, it will require us to yield ourselves to him with everything that we have. You see, it denotes being subject to stern and rigid discipline. And again, we don't want to do that. Because again, that cuts things out of our life that sometimes we like to carry with us that are unnecessary. And sometimes we just need to shed those unnecessary weights in our lives. Amen? Hebrews 12 and 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, that is, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. I mean, sometimes, again, like we've already been discussing for the last few weeks, sometimes we just need to leave some things behind. We just need to shed some of those things that are entangling us and snaring us and keeping us from really, truly running the race the way that God would intend for us to run that race, again, with endurance and active persistence. It's not going to come just by us saying, okay, I love you, Lord. All right, there's going to be more than that. There's got to be a desire to run. There's got to be a desire to dig into who he is. There has to be a desire for us to yield to the Holy Spirit, to yield to his word, to make sure that what we're doing today is better than what we did yesterday. Does that mean that we're going to some moment wake up and we're just going to be perfect? No. But how many would rather strive for perfection here, knowing that we have a greater prize ahead of us for all of eternity, amen? You see, the reason that Paul says all of this needs to be done and dealt with and considered in our life is kind of measured out in the last part of verse 27. He says, but I train like a champion athlete. I subdue my body and get it under control so that after preaching the good news to others, I myself won't be disqualified. How many of you have ever been disqualified in a game, an activity? I watched a ball game one time when my brother was in Little League. And my father, and he's not going to like that I tell this story, but my father and another, well, at that time he was our pastor, went to my brother's game, and the ump was a little off that day. And so they started reminding the ump how much he was off. And my mom said, hey, Virgil, you might want to cool it. Well, then the other pastor was just as determined to remind the ump that he was a little off. So, in about the fifth or sixth inning, if I remember correct, both my father and my pastor were ejected from a Little League ball game in Sefner, Florida. Now, I understand that they were not participating per se, but that's what you get for being on the sideline and being a complaining critic, all right? That's what happens. But you see, sometimes we enter into things and we do something and it disqualifies us. To be disqualified here basically means that you fail to pass the test. It means that you tried, I suppose, but you failed to pass the test. It means that you are unapproved, that you're a counterfeit, that you've been rejected, and that now you are a castaway. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend my life assuming that I'm running the race correctly, to get to the end of it and be disqualified, right? Wouldn't that stink to go through something? You're like, yeah, I did it. I survived. I made it. And instead of well done, thou good and faithful servant, he says, disqualified. See you later. No, but everybody goes to heaven, right? Yes, they do. And then they're judged. If you would stand with me this morning, we're going to end on a high note. I know that maybe this is a little odd this morning, but I want you to take into consideration what we're finding in scriptures here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and how Paul describes this race and what we need to do to make sure that we're running that race to the very best of our ability. Because we don't really need to end today on a bang to say that 2019 was good. We can look back and I can know just in watching my own personal life, my family, people within this body, I know that God has done great things in 2019. I can look back at the ministry that has taken place this year and say that we had some amazing moments in God's presence, and we interacted with people within our church, within our community, and we were able to serve and bless. I believe we've had multiple things that we could probably all reach back and say God has been good in 2019. I don't think that we need to end today in a bang. I think we need to just continue to run with passion. Amen? We need to continue to run and run with all of our might, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. Is it a new year? Yes. It's a new year. New leg of the race. But it's the same race that we've already been running. So let's make sure that this year we're a participant to the very best of our ability who's running with passion and not simply just somebody who's sitting as a spectator on the sidelines getting comfortable and critical. Let's make sure that God has all of our heart and so that when we're running, what we're running after is not something, again, that's obtainable necessarily here in that temporal sense. But we're running towards what we know is eternal and will have the greatest impact in our lives. You see, we need to run and we need to run strong. We need to run passionately this morning because disqualification shouldn't be an option. This morning, I believe that God loves us. Undeniably, it's been shown through his word, his very own son became flesh for you and I. He set the example. He set the bar high. And this morning, I just want us to do what is our best. As a pastor, I'm not looking for perfection in my own life, so I'm definitely not looking for perfection in yours. But what I'm looking for is some people who are going to passionately pursue Jesus Christ in 2020. Did we have a great year of ministry in 2019? Absolutely. Were there challenges? Absolutely. Could certain things have been done better? Absolutely. But my goal, and hopefully your goal, is to look at 2020 and say, all right, new leg of the race, we're gonna do this. Father, I'm gonna follow you with more passion, more desire, more drive than I ever have before. Those things that maybe I didn't do so good last year, Holy Spirit, I want you to bring those to my heart and my mind because I want to do them better this year. I want to love people to a greater degree. I want to serve to a greater degree. I want to worship to a greater degree. I want to study your word to a greater degree. I want to involve myself in prayer to a greater degree. You see, it's all about how we run the race. Father, I thank you this morning for your word and how it challenges us. But God, how it also shows us, Lord, what we need to do to, God, better be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. So God, I pray that we would take your word to heart this morning. God, that we would digest it. Lord, that we would, through your Holy Spirit, begin to apply it in the most appropriate fashion to our hearts. God, so that when we finish this race, what we hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not, I'm sorry, you're disqualified. Help us to understand that, God, regardless of what year it is, Lord, we just need to run this race with passion as we pursue you above all of, God, above all other things. Father, I thank you for what you have done in 2019. And God, I'm going to go ahead and thank you now for what you are going to release in 2020. Father, I just thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better time to come and surrender your life to him. If you've been living maybe that life of the prodigal, you gave your heart to him a long time ago, but you just haven't been running the race as he would have you run the race, but you're ready to come home I pray this morning that you would take that same opportunity and rededicate your life to Christ this morning. If that's you, for either case, we want to encourage you to come. Let us pray with you and lead you to that salvation knowledge in Jesus Christ. But maybe this morning, maybe you just need prayer of agreement. Maybe this morning you say, you know, Pastor, I really feel like I didn't run the race as well as I should have ran last year. I want to encourage you to just find a place to pray this morning and say, Lord, I know this is what happened last year, but God, this is where I want to go this year. Maybe if you feel like last year went great, how about this morning we just take a moment and say, God, I thank you for last year. And God, I just want to right now thank you for greater things to come. If that's you for anything this morning, we want you to come.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.